And I got prepared to do the evangelism workshop for 45 days, bringing the whole church outside to knock doors. And the first time I arrived to the church was Wednesday night, like today. I sit down in the behind, and that beautiful lady came inside to the church. The first time I saw her, my heart started to do boom, 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 boom. And she came and sit down in the front, and she knows someone came to visit, and she looked back and saw me. She said, and never looked me again. And this was Wednesday. Saturday, I was invited to speak to the youth, and guess who were there? Lisa was there. I was dying because my heart was bumping too fast. And I got in love since the first time I saw her. And then I talked to the pastor. And then he said, well, she's the Sunday school teacher of my kids and all the kids in the church. You're not gonna take her out of here. You must come to Dominican Republic. And then I said, well, definitely, I will more than glad to do that if the Lord. We start to pray, and Sunday, a day, family day, I was invited to be with the whole church, and she was there. I was praying to the Lord, give me courage to tell her that I want to marry her. I'm in love. When I told her that I'm in love, I want to marry her, she looked like me like that. And since then, we start to pray. I start to pray. She start to pray. Her parents start to pray. My parents start to pray. My pastor start to pray. Her pastor start to pray. Everyone start to pray. At the end, I win, and we got married. And now we have 5 years married with two kids and serving the Lord, which is the most important. And serving the Lord, I found my happiness. I got married when I was 35 years old. I was waiting for the time of the Lord. I was working in my local church. When I was 35, the Lord bring the perfect woman for my life, the perfect wife for me. Now I am 40 years old and starting raising kids. I'm praying that the Lord give us energy to do both serving the Lord and raising our kids in the Lord. It's a blessing. It's beautiful serving the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, I encourage you to be busy in your local church. And then the Lord will guide you and use your pastor to guide you where the Lord wants you. But you need to be found busy where you are right now. Don't tell me you want to go to Puerto Rico if you're doing nothing in your local church, because things don't work like that. You need to be busy here. And you're missionaries to Illinois. There are a lot of sinners here, right? So you got a lot of work here. We have our sinners in Puerto Rico too, but we are with Chicago and San Juan. We are fighting for the first place of sinners. I think San Juan is winning. So please pray for us. I would like to have a few minutes for asking questions. If you have questions and I can answer, forgive me my English. I will try to do my best to answer properly. We eat rice, beans, pork, plantains. Yes. We'll be working in the central mountainous area. The second missionary who spoke, he's from the state. He's close to retire. His church was lost in the Hurricane Maria 2017. All the brethren left the that mountain, that area, and most of those left the island. And now he's ready to retire. And he called us like 3 or 4 months ago and letting us know if we want to start in Comerío. He will be more than glad to help us to start a new church there, because need to start from scratch there. And he offered to help us. He's experienced missionary. He'll be more than 25 years in Puerto Rico. He have done a good job in Puerto Rico. It's a big blessing to come with his. He's a veteran missionary in Puerto Rico. There are some places that we would love to start, like Comerío, Naranjito, Corozal. Especially Naranjito, I've never had a fundamental independent Baptist church. They have Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness, of course, a lot of Catholicism in the central mountainous area of Puerto Rico. The good thing, Puerto Rico is a small island. We can work in different places. because like 30, 40, 40 minutes, one or other, we can work in the area, and Lord will open the doors to start a church. Other question? The good, yes.
So after the hurricane, have you found that the people of the island are more open to the gospel at this point, or is it more difficult? Or?
In the island, Puerto Ricans have the heart like a stone, very hard. In fact, Puerto Rico is the less the island in the Caribbean that has less missionaries coming. Very low compared to our neighbor Dominican Republic, Haiti, or smaller islands. They have a lot of missionaries coming, but for Puerto Rico, they have almost nobody coming. Now we are praying for more missionaries to come. After the hurricane, I can tell you the beauty of what happened after the storm is that people were more tender. After, before the storm, they were very hard. But the beauty of what happened is even wealthy people making a line for a gallon of water, asking for prayers. Even the media, that is the first enemy of the church in Puerto Rico, they were asking prayers to elevate prayers to the Almighty Creator. Say, huh, you need hurricanes to say that, but Lord, bring more hurricanes. If we needed that, we were praying for revival, and God sent a Category 5 hurricane. I would like to tell you something. If you are praying for revival in your area, in your church, you don't need a Category 5 hurricane to have a revival in your life. What you need is to rededicate your life and obey the Word of God. You don't need that. You don't need a disaster in your state. You don't need that. I can tell you, it's terrible. You don't need that. You don't need to see people dead around. You don't need devastation. What you need is to rededicate your life as Christian and pray for Jesus outside. When people see Jesus in your life, they will come to the Lord. We need to rededicate our life. You don't need. We were praying a lot because we were suffering a lot. We only were running the 3.5 U.S. citizens. We only 39, 40. Independent Baptist churches. Our presence is very small. Most of people don't know about our church, so we need to pray for Puerto Rico and pray for more missionaries come and do their work. Puerto Rico in 1898 we became U.S. territory after the Spanish-American War. The first good thing that happened to Puerto Rico is that for the first time in the history of the island, the gospel came to the island because missionaries from the United States came to the island, have their time. Puerto Rico is a rectangle. They divided the island in four, and those group of missionaries evangelized the whole island. My grandmother, she's the fruit of that work of missionaries from the United States, and she died 98 years old, and she reached me for the Lord, but my grandma passed away, and those generations of missionaries passed away. Now in Puerto Rico, it's a new generation that don't know the Lord. What are we going to do now? We are praying for our nation. United States is the first country in the world supporting the missions around the globe. We are under attack, and you know it. We need to pray for our nation. At the same time, we can't stop to doing missions around the globe. I told to my wife that we know more than ever about missions. When we come back to Puerto Rico, we want to plant a missionary church. We want to learn, we want to teach people to support missions around the globe. We need to teach people to support the work of God. As Brother George preached yesterday, we need to teach people to support the kingdom of Jesus now. Not for the future, now. We need to advance the kingdom of Jesus now. And we need to rededicate our life and do it. Last question to share with you later the word of God. Other question? Okay, if you don't have more questions, I would like to share what the Lord put in my heart to share with you tonight. Please come to, in the reverence of the word of the Lord, I would like to invite you to stand up to read the word of God in reverence of the word of the Lord. If you can stand up, you can remain seated, please, my brethren. But if you can, please come with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. The beautiful word of the Lord says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, the beautiful word of the Lord says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the word of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now come with me to chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The beautiful word of the Lord says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have nothing to tell to my brethren tonight, but be you talking to our hearts, we ask you. In the name of the Almighty Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, my brethren. Yesterday, last night, I rejoiced my heart when I hear Brother Judge preaching about the fear of God. I had my sermon ready, and the Lord confirmed me what I needed to preach my notes, because it was the Holy Spirit guiding me that direction, and was beautiful. I really enjoyed hearing your preaching last night. And I said, well, Lord, that's the way you are. So we will need to pray more together in the future. It's beautiful. Lord doesn't stop to impress me. In this portion of the scripture, King Solomon urged his children to acquire above all wisdom, or rather before all things to acquire fear of God, my brethren. My brethren, how sad is to see how God is no longer feared today. The philosophies of this world undermining the moral standards of God, the nations of the world conspiring against the moral standards of God, and how sad is to see how people say they know God and in works they deny him, living a life without the true fear of God in their life. This is the saddest part. People outside saying that they know God and have they are really Christian, but in works they are denying God because they don't fear the Lord. This is the saddest part, my brethren. In this version of the scriptures, King Solomon urges us to acquire wisdom, which is above things to acquire the true fear of God in our life. And how do we achieve the true fear of God in our life is the question. How do we achieve the true fear of God in our life? Before continuing, my brethren, I would like to clarify a point. Fear of God is not that you do not dare to approach God, because Jesus Christ has his hand open waiting for you. Amen? So fear of God doesn't mean that you do not dare to approach God. Oh, God is there. I'm here. I just can't be there because I fear the Lord. Doesn't mean that, my brethren. Definitely. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. I know you know the passage, but it's necessary to read it again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Come with all confidence to the Lord. That's what you need to do, my brethren. Come confident to the throne of grace. Come boldly with all confidence. Fear of God. Well, this is a very simple message. I do my notes in Spanish because it's my first language. And in my backside of my Bible, there is a dictionary in Spanish and English. And I just got the dictionary of the Bible and defined what is fear of God. This is according to the dictionary of the Bible, fear of God. First, fear of God is worship him. Amen? He who fear the Lord will worship him. Amen? It's true. Second, fear of God is serving him. He who fear the Lord will serve the Lord. Amen? It's true. And third, fear of God is obey him. Amen? The most important, he who fear the Lord will obey the Lord. Amen? He who fear the Lord. If you really fear the Lord, you will obey his word, my brethren. The best example of a man who really feared the Lord in his heart is in Genesis. For me, this is the best example. Go with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 in our Bibles. This is the best example of a man who really feared the Lord in his heart. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9. Genesis chapter 22, verse 10. And they came to the place which God hath told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Every time I read this passage, I feel so sad, because if God asked me to slay my kid in the altar, I will fail. I don't know about you. I just can't do that. I just can't. Just can't slay my kids if God tonight asks me that. I will fail my Lord. But that man, Abraham, he feared the Lord at the point he was very old. He had only one son. He said, God, if you ask me that, I will obey you. And he took his son and was ready to slay his kid. Could you do that? I can't. And I want to obey my Lord. I want to be a better Christian. You know what is the good news? God is not asking you tonight to slay your kid in the altar. He's just asking you to obey the basic things of Christian life. And most of the time we are found disobedient to our Father in heaven. In basic things as shall not forsake to assembly as the matter of some is. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Or tithing. Or being faithful to our local church, supporting our local church, supporting our pastor, supporting the people who keep the church. Going outside to church to share our faith with the lost souls. Most of the time we are found disobedient to our Father in heaven. When was the last time you shared your faith with the lost souls? When was the last time? We are found disobedient to our Father in heaven. That thing needs to change in our life. Need to change. We need to share our faith with the lost souls. God is not asking you to slay your kid in the altar. He's just asking you to obey the basic things of Christian life. We can do that. Amen? We can do better, right? For the Lord. He deserves it. And you see, things are running too fast out there. Jesus is coming soon. What are you going to do? When he comes and sounds the trumpet, are you going to be found seeing the Super Bowl? No, I don't have nothing against the Super Bowl. Everyone loves the Super Bowl, right? Or see the Chicago, the Cubs? Who don't love the Chicago Cubs? But if it's Sunday in service time and you choose to stay at home seeing Chicago Cubs and the sound of the trumpets come, you are in trouble. Because say the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. I think the day of the Lord will be Sunday. Where are you going to be Sunday? Wednesday night. Where are you going to be? People fear more a certain virus out there than fear God. That's why churches are empty in services. But Walmart is full. Walmart is full. Grocery store continue full. The shopping malls around, you hard see you get parking. But for church, church is a very dangerous place. Oh, but Walmart is not dangerous, right? You see, you can get the line to pay something in Walmart, but don't come to the church because you can get the coronavirus in church. Oh, but in Walmart, you can't. You know, there's no way you can seek on Walmart because there's a tenant in the front desk of Walmart. Brethren, this is sad, but what we see today is people, they say they are Christian, but they don't fear God. And sometimes we are found the same way. Things need to change in our own life, my brethren. Said the previous, let's get a little deep how to fear the Lord. First, to fear the Lord, you have to know him first. You have to know who's God. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in our Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach without except be sent? And you can add also, how shall they fear the Lord outside if the children of the Lord don't show fear of the Father in heaven? We can't expect that the unbelievers fear the Lord if we don't show fear the Lord. The first is in our own life as Christians. We need to show fear of our Father in heaven through the obedience. When people outside see our life in obedience to the Lord, they will fear God because they will say, well, I see that person belongs to the church Marquette Manor, that person always goes straight, and God must be real because that person feared God and is faithful to his God. That's the way we should live our life. People need to see obedience in our own life. Let me remind you, revival starts with obedience. There's no way you can have revival in your life if you're not obedient to our Father in heaven. When you give yourself the task of truly knowing God, you will know His holiness and his power, my brethren. God is holy, God is pure, and God is judge. He does not overlook our sin, my brethren. At this point is when you can appreciate the beauty of the gospel, because also he is love, he's the true love, and because of love, he sent his only begotten Son in propitiation, in payment for all our sin. Jesus did an exchange and took our place on Calvary for us. That's what Jesus did for us. What are we going to do now? We need to give our life to him because he died for us. Things need to change, my brethren. Things need to change. He took the punishment we deserve. He took the punishment for us. We need to rededicate our life as believers. After the Lord opened your understanding to know him and his power, believe me, you will fear God. When you, at last, you understand who is God, you will end the day fearing the Lord. He is the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. For me, the basic example of fearing God is our own parents. I am 40 years old, Puerto Rican, raised in the island. 40 years ago, you know what happened to the young kid that disobeyed mom and dad in Puerto Rico? Who knows about Puerto Rico here a little bit? Okay, you know what my mom did when I disobeyed her? She had a good tool, useful, called flip-flop. And she knew how to use it. Bim, boom, bam, bam, boom, bam. And I just straight. Because if I disobey mom, I knew something will land in my backside. So I needed to walk careful in obedience with my mom and my dad. But when I needed something, when I see my thumb through my shoes, mom, you need to take me to Kmart to buy a new pair of shoes. Okay, let's go, or let's see how much I have here. And she or my dad looked at the wallet and say, well, Javier, you need to wait for payday. When I got payday, I'll take you. Or let's go, I have the money now. But you know what? God has an endless wallet. He always can help you. He always can. That's what we need to learn, to come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to cultivate that relationship with our Father in heaven as our parents on earth. When I needed something, I came with all confidence to my parents. Hey, Dad, I need that ice cream. It's 95 degrees. You know, it's summer. Puerto Rico is very hot. You need an ice cream. It's a need, you know. And my dad said, well, when he had money, he bought me. When he had no money, he said, well, you need to wait. But this is a relationship we need to cultivate with our Father in heaven, my brother. And we can do that. We have the ability. The Christians have the ability to cultivate more personal relationship with our Father in heaven and fear our Father in heaven. We have to do it before you own well, my brethren. We need to do that, my brethren. And by the way, those who do not know God and die without knowing him, they voluntarily decided to die in their ignorance because God is righteous. Amen, my brethren? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. God is righteous. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Let's take from the verse 3, to get the whole idea, the whole picture. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking in after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water and perished. Verse 6 says that they voluntarily decided. People outside decide to die in their ignorance. They voluntarily decided to reject Jesus. But you know what is your task? You do? Telling about Jesus. You must be found obeying the Great Commission. If they don't accept Jesus, then it's between him and God. But you are found obedient. No matter if your state is very hard or be our neighbor, we have no excuses. We just need to be found obeying the Great Commission. And he will do the rest. First Samuel, let's see a best example of two men that grew up in for what will be called the best environment to fear the Lord. But they voluntarily decided the opposite. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Those two men decided completely the opposite. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Silo. And the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Oh, they were priests, huh? Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Huh. But in chapter 1, say they were priests. Back then, you inherit the position of priests. But they voluntarily decided not to fear God. If you read before and after, you see they were doing terrible things that is a shame even mentioned in the pulpit. They were doing terrible things with ladies around the among the people. Now come with me to chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, were slain. They died and went to hell. They died without fearing the Lord, and they end in hell forever. They voluntarily decided. They had no excuses. Second, the rhetorical question of how to know God. They say, Javier, okay. How to know God? Well, only through his son Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ. You want to know God, you need Jesus Christ. You want to be saved, you need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name is Jesus Christ. If people want to be saved, they need Jesus Christ. This is the message we need to give to this world. Jesus Christ. What Puerto Rico needs? No more money from FEMA, no more money from Washington. What Puerto Rico needs is repent for their sin and receive Jesus Christ. The same that Chicago, Illinois need. Jesus Christ. And New York City, terrible. Don't go there. I've been there, and believe me, I don't like to go there. When I have a meeting there, one day I said to my wife, we don't want to call New York to have a meeting there. We have all month scheduled. The Lord said, you don't want, I'm going to send you there. It was very hard. You can read the Bible and know passages. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ as Lord and Savior, you only have an intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge never saves anybody. You can memorize passages. When you go in Puerto Rico and knock doors, everyone know John chapter 3, verse 16. In Spanish says, porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Everyone can say John chapter 3, verse 16. When you knock the door, they say, what means Jesus for you? Oh, Jesus is everything for me. Porque de tal manera, and then they start to say John chapter 3, verse 16, sometimes with a cigarette. And they put all the smoke in your face saying John chapter 3, verse 16. And it's John chapter 3, verse 16 that can kill you. I have patience every time that happens. You know how many cigarettes need to smell while I'm knocking doors? It's terrible. And it's worse when they quote John chapter 3, verse 16. You say, But it's our job. It's your job. And you need to cultivate that patience with people because someone had patience with you when you were lost. But it's beautiful sharing the word of God. Third, the benefit of he who feared the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. Come with me to Ecclesiastes. The benefits of he who feared the Lord. It's beautiful. The best thing can happen to a person cultivating fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes. After Proverbs, you can find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that fear God shall come forth of them all. Everything will be good to he who fear God. That's what it says. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. For the ladies, come with me to Proverbs. Go a little back to Proverbs chapter 31. That's especially for ladies, but everyone, please come with me. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Praise the Lord. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In Puerto Rico, it's very popular, the beauty contest. You know those ladies that weigh 90 pounds and walk like that with the hair? And they go, oh, what a beautiful lady. Oh. I have a daughter. I don't want my daughter to learn the deceivings of this world. That you need to wear this or wear that or be like this or be like that to be beautiful. A woman is beautiful if she in her heart fear the Lord. When a woman fears the Lord, she's beautiful in front of the Lord. But this is only what it counts. If a woman fears the Lord, she's beautiful in front of the Lord. So, lady, if you want to cultivate your beauty, cultivate fear of the Lord in your heart, and you'll be the most beautiful lady around. That's what I want to teach to my daughter. I am tired of seeing how girls in Puerto Rico believe the deceivings of this world. It's so sad. Destroy our life, and we can't continue. Things need to change around us, my brethren. Proverbs chapter 24 is for the youth. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Come with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall raise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Wow. It's a great biblical truth. Don't meddle with them that are given to change. Don't meddle with people who don't fear God. If you are young, don't meddle with them. You can say, oh, Javier, but I have a friend I want to be safe, and I need to keep that friendship to bring him or bring her to the Lord. Let me tell you something, my young among us. If you have the friend, if you have tried a couple of years and haven't seen any fruit, it's time for you to pass the page and continue with your life, because calamity will come suddenly if you continue meddling with people who don't fear the Lord. And God wants to warn you and save you from the calamity in your life. If you have friends that don't fear God, you share the gospel, but if you don't see fruit, continue with your life. I see time after time in Puerto Rico, when I knock doors, there was a young man, 19 years old. He lived in what we call caserio, a project where poor people live, and they pay negative rent. They don't pay rent. And he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. He came with me to the church. And one day I was taken to the church, and he said, Javier, I have a friend who became Christian. What happened to him? Because he sells drugs. And I said, well, if your friend, he's received Jesus as Lord and Savior, God doesn't want him to sell drugs anymore. This is not for children of God, for child of God. You need to quit. Okay. Next week, when I'm driving him to home after church, he said, Javier, do you remember my friend who sells drugs? I said, yeah, I remember him. He said, that man, it was me. I said, really? I knew it was him. It was so sad, because after that week, next week, he got and went to jail. And it was very sad. He was crying. And I just had time to visit him to the jail. And he was crying, 19-year-old boy. He just crying. And I say, what happened? What happened to you? What happened? And he just was crying. He said, I had a friend. It's very sad. He had a friend who led him to the drugs, to sell drugs. He had a wrong friend and put him selling drugs. He was facing the rest of his life in jail. It was sad. Young brethren among us, don't meddle with people that don't fear God. You witness to them and bring him to the Lord and bring him to church. But if they don't show fruit of salvation, it's time for you to continue with your life for your protection and your spiritual life. Psalm 112, to be finishing. Psalm 100, this message, let me have some few more verses to finish. Okay, Psalm 112. This is for a gentleman. You thought you will escape. Psalm 112. Come with me to my gentleman among us. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of your right shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. When men fear the Lord in his house, it's a blessing for his wife. When men fear the Lord in his house, it's a blessing for his kid. It's a blessing for a neighbor. It's a blessing for co-workers. It's a blessing for the local church. It's a blessing for the whole nation. When a man don't fear the Lord, it's a disgrace for the wife. It's a disgrace for the kids. It's a disgrace for the whole nation. A disgrace for the local church. It's a disgrace for the world. And this is why our world is continuing down and down, because men stop fearing the Lord. We need to change as Christians. We need to rededicate our life to impact our neighborhood to the Lord. We need to cultivate fear of our Lord. When you cultivate fear of the Lord, you will obey him no matter the consequences. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Let's have a time for prayer. Heavenly Father, please forgive us, because certainly we have failed you. We have done things for you, but also sometimes we are found disobedient. We want to have more fear of the Lord. We want to have more fear for you, to obey you, my Lord. We need you. We need to rededicate our life. We need that revival in our own life. We don't want a disgrace in our life. We don't want calamity in our life. We don't need that. But we need to rededicate our life. Please, if you that are tonight here, you say, Javier, if I die tonight, I am not 100% sure where my soul will go, but I want to be saved. I want to repent from all my sin, and I want to receive Jesus as the only owner of my soul. If this is your desire, please, could you raise your hand, stay where you are, just to pray for you. You want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, as the owner of your soul? Could you raise your hand where I can see, just to pray for you? Nobody watching. You say, Javier, I want to be saved. I want to repent from my sins. I want to receive Jesus as the owner of my soul. Could you raise your hand just to pray for you? Could you raise your hand? I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Pray for me, Javier. I want to be saved. I want to repent from my sin. Praise the Lord. This message is for believers. If you are children of the Lord, child of God, you say, Javier, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to be more obedient to my Father in heaven. I want to serve him more. I want him to give me boldness to share my faith with the lost. Please pray for me. Could you raise your hand if this is your desire? Praise the Lord. Lord, you're seeing the not only the hands, you're seeing the hearts. We want to serve you. That's why we are tonight here. We want to hear your word and obey your word. Help Marquette Manor Baptist Church is a beautiful example of a local church. Please continue blessing the families here this tonight here and everyone. You see the hearts. We want to serve you better because you deserve it. You die for us. We are vessels of clay. We are nothing. And without you, we can do nothing. So tonight we recognize or declare that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord of our life. We want to serve you. Use us, my Lord. We ask you in the name of the Almighty Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
I encourage you to stay where you are with your heads bowed and eyes closed and, you know, just ask yourself honestly, is your heart to worship the Lord? Is your commitment, is your focus on serving the Lord? And by God's grace, are you faithfully obeying him? Because those who fear God, that's what their lives look like. And thankfully, we're sinners, we struggle, but God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace is there for us. So our musicians are going to play, and I just encourage you to talk with the Lord about the needs in your life. Ask him to give you the grace to fear him as we ought, and to reach others with the gospel, tell others about what he has done, what he desires to do.
Thank you.
go ahead and stand here together, and we'll sing a couple.